Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the 12th of October, 2014. Jesus tells us the parable of the King inviting us to the wedding feast of heaven. Let us all say yes to that invitation.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in the wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and his feet and cast him into the darkness outside, there where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So we're right in the middle of Isaiah's mini-apocalypse, right? The final age. And Isaiah is writing to see how God will restore Israel. And not only will Israel be restored, but all the nations will gather on God's holy mountain. And it's going to be marvelous. We lose a little bit in the reading because our English translates juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. It just says it twice. And the second time it says it's like the fatty portions, the bacon, the bone marrow. It's going to be a wonderful meal. The most aged and expensive wines. And all of this is going to be flowing down God's holy mountain. What else happens? Because a nice meal is pretty good. But then it says that God will rip apart the veil that veils all people. He'll destroy the web that covers all the nations. So what is this veil and this web that infects or prevents us? It's death itself, right? And death itself will be destroyed in God's victory. This is amazing. This is an amazing feast. This is the wedding feast of the Lamb. Death itself is destroyed, and we all receive eternal life. Amen? Amen. And so with that in mind, let's read today's gospel. Because otherwise, Matthew's gospels, the parables of Jesus in Matthew, can be really troubling. Like, what kind of God do we have? He invites us to the party, and then if we don't come, he kills us off. Maybe those new atheists are right. We have a crazy, vindictive, vengeful God. No. Let's go through it very slowly. First of all, I would suggest like some of Flannery O'Connor's characters. They're bigger than life, right? Their sins are more heinous. Their virtues are more amazing. They're just hyperbole. Why? Flannery O'Connor said that she used so many larger-than-life characters because no one else is listening. And I need to shake people. And so think about this. God has grabbed you by your shoulders and is giving you a little shake, whether you're the Pharisees of the first century or you're the 21st century Wrangellites. God is here to give you a little shake. And he says, listen, there was this amazing king who invited everyone to his son's wedding. This is amazing. So a Learjet arrives from England. The young prince is getting married, and you and 25 of your friends all have full expense paid trips to the royal wedding. And you're like, let me check my calendar. I think I've got a jury duty or something. Oh, no, I got to work that day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have bowling with my friends at the Elks. Right? You don't say no to this invitation. And so the hyperbole goes both ways. Both as God's bigger than life and his actions are bigger than life to shake us up. But who would refuse this invitation? Remember the wedding feast we're being invited to? The one where death itself is destroyed? That wedding feast? That's the invitation. And we're like, I'm too busy. I got to go moose hunting. Are you crazy? Right? What do we give up our salvation for? What trivialities do we distract ourselves with and set aside God's plan? I would suggest there are far too many. And so he sends more servants to invite the same guests. Come to the feast. I've prepared the best food ever. And some they just ignore. Others, they kill. Now, wait a minute. So that means that the Learjet that flew in from England to invite us all to the prince's wedding, we blow it up on the end of the runway? That's what it's saying. We destroyed the servants. So what is Jesus talking about, right? All the prophets that have been sent to the house of Israel down through the centuries have been killed or run out of town. And we do pretty much the same to our prophets today. Gandhi, right? Martin Luther King. We can go through a lot of lists of these ones that are trying to get us to live godly ways. And we go, I'll have none of yours. No, thank you. But again, we're excluding ourselves from the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is the best invitation you will ever have. So what happens? Well, God throws himself into a tantrum and destroys their city. No. God is love. So how do we read this text? Well, first of all, how many of you, when you were children, heard that if you chewed gum at church, you made the Blessed Mother cry? A couple of us. Right? And as a little kid, I'm like, yes! I've got power over the Blessed Mother. Doesn't that sound crazy? Right? I don't have power over God. I don't even have power over the Blessed Mother. I barely have power over myself. So how could my behavior cause God to do anything? That's what I want you to point out here. God has no need of my praise. Does he delight in it? I hope so, but I'm not even sure of that. Right? God has no need of any of this. God existed fully unto himself without any need of creation or all of us creatures. He delights and he loves us, right? He enjoys sharing himself with us. He's revealed his plan to us. All of that, absolutely true. But my behavior does not throw God into a rage. My behavior does not sadden the Blessed Mother. Right? They don't have emotions like we have emotions now that the Blessed Mother's in heaven, and God, I don't know what God has as far as emotions, because like God's very being inhabits every particle of all of creation, right? That's really big. You know, and me doing something wrong here today ruins his day? No. All right, so first, we don't have control over God. So what's going on here? Well, remember, this is hyperbole. And God's trying to show, through Jesus' parable, that rejecting the invitation is a really bad idea. I think that's his easiest interpretation. You reject God's interpretation to eternal life, you end up in that other place where it's hot and horrible forever. And so then we get to the, I mean, if it ended there, you'd be like, well, that's odd. Don't say no to his invitation. All right, big lesson. say yes to God's invitation. But then they come and they collect everybody. They kind of take a dragnet through the city and collect every possible sap and bring them to the feast. And one gets in without a wedding garment. And you're like, what's this story about? Well, everybody has an Uncle Bob. And then Uncle Bob occasionally shows up to the wedding having pre-evented. So he's pretty drunk already. And maybe Uncle Bob at this point has got his coat off, he's got his tie off, and he's just kind of wearing his suspenders and his undershorts, and you're like, Bob, this is not appropriate. That's what's going on here. If we're going to be baptized, that's how we accept the invitation of Christ and to be part of his kingdom, then we need to live as the baptized. We can't be baptized and you're like, oh, that's great, I'm in the Christian club now, and then go off and cheat our brother and sister out of their fair pay, or cheat on our spouse, or destroy the reputation of our neighbor. None of those are part of God's plan. And if we do all those things, we've destroyed our baptismal garment, and we'll get to heaven pretty naked. And I don't know, but I would rather stand behind the grace of my baptism than behind my own sinfulness when I get to the kingdom. And so we need to live as Christians live. It's interesting, in this parable, Jesus has again addressed it to the leaders, right, who roundly reject him. And we go, oh good, not for me. Let's leave that 2,000 years ago. We have a kinder, gentler Jesus now. Everybody's welcome. And I'm like, I don't know. I think this parable is addressed to me and to you today. How often have I rejected the call to join God in God's plan? In big ways, you know, rejecting my faith and wandering away from it? How many of the people I could list off in the phone book are also in our baptismal register and aren't here? Now, is coming to Mass the only way to show you love God? No. But it's sure a great place to start. The sacraments of the church are really important and support you in your walk, so that you'll get to heaven with your baptismal garment intact. We often find ourselves too busy or just too distracted to say our prayers. Little things, like how often, oh, I'd love to offer a rosary every day, but you know, I'm just too busy. I'm like, yeah, with 3.5 hours of television. Or 45 minutes of Facebook posting, right? Or 25 minutes of navel gazing, right? We need to set some priorities. What are we going to do to prepare ourselves? We've received this wonderful invitation. Let's get ready to join the feast. Let's come well clothed. And I'd suggest that by keeping your baptismal garment clean, by caring for your brother and sister, loving God with all you are, and loving your neighbor as passionately, then you will in fact find that you can help your brother and sister come to faith. Right? Because I can't force you to believe. God doesn't force you to believe. You can't force your spouse or your children or your parents or your neighbors to believe in God. Right? And in fact, we probably have a society that's forcing us the other way. How many of our college students lose faith when they're tested, if you will, or attacked by atheist professors at the university level? And I don't know if these atheist professors are working for Satan, but they're certainly not working for Jesus. And so we need to be strengthened in our faith. Right? The new atheists have a couple good points, but all of them fall away with a little bit of theological education or a bit of philosophy, because often their arguments are vacuous. What can we say to a brother or sister who's received the same invitation we have to faith and has rejected it? I'd suggest we say something like, you know, I love Jesus, and my life is better because of Jesus than it is without him. I spend time in prayer with the God of the universe, who personally cares for me and desires that I thrive and live a full and wonderful life. And when I struggle, he's there to help me. If we could do that kind of sharing with our brother and sister, they'd be like, Maybe that's, I need some of that. You're like, sure, there's plenty of room, right? I'd be happy to have to have 3 or 4 masses on Sunday in Wrangell because there were so many people trying to get to church. It'll happen soon. This place is going to be packed. The entire city is going to want to be Catholic. That's the vision, right? Everybody's invited to the feast. Let's help them not reject that. Let's point out that they've got the best invitation ever. All expense paid trip to eternity. And in that gift of faith, we receive so much more. All of the strength, all of the compassion, all of the mercy, all of the forgiveness, all of the things we need to live as wonderful members of the kingdom of God. Jesus often said, the kingdom of God is now, is within you, is amongst you, is around you. He didn't mean that we could wait however long it takes us to die to finally get to heaven. No, we could help create the kingdom of God here and now by our behavior as brothers and sisters in Christ. Every one of us is important to God's plan. Let's work to build that kingdom.